Hey friends, welcome to the Stationery Cafe, your podcast for everything stationery, journaling, planning related, and fun things happening in the community. I'm April from Penguins Creative. In today's episode, I'm excited to chat with new friend Judy from Tokubetsu Memory on Instagram. Judy is currently based in Taiwan and is an avid stationery enthusiast, just like us. And what I love the most is her beautiful washi tape art that utilizes different elements of washi tape patterns to create unique pieces of art. Let's hear her story today. Hey Judy, welcome to the Stationery Cafe podcast. It's so great to have you on here. How are you?
Hi, I'm a little bit like nervous right now, but I feel really excited. It's my first time doing this sort of thing. And I'm just like getting ready for my notes and everything. And I'm so excited to share my experience in Taiwan and maybe a little bit of like a background insider of like who I am and like what I do and such.
I love
so
it.
So I'm really excited.
I feel like a lot of our guests love that they get to use stationery for this kind of thing. Like a lot of them tell me they prep notes and they write it down in their journals.
Yeah, like I'm writing it down as we speak and oh my gosh.
I got to use stationery too. I'm like writing my own notebook. I'm like, yes, this is another use for a notebook.
Yeah.
So Judy, you are in Taiwan, but you also say that you actually grew up in the US. Can you give us a little self-introduction about yourself, how you end up there, and you know,
okay,
and then dive into my always our biggest question, when did you start journaling?
okay, so for starters, I was born in Taiwan, and my family, my mom and my grandma actually went with me to the US when I was about 5 years old, and that's when I started my kindergarten up until high school. So I stayed there in US for about 12 years. Mm-hmm. I was based in Maryland, so in the East Coast. And then after high school graduation, I immediately went back to Taiwan to study for college. And then afterwards, graduate school in Taiwan, Taipei. So the college is in Taichung, but like the graduate school is in Taipei. So two different cities. Yeah. And then here I am now still in Taipei, starting my job. I started my job around 2009 up until now. So this is still my first and only job. Up until now. Yeah.
Oh, well, you had a really different like turnaround experience from many of us here on the podcast, whereas we grew up in like the environment filled with stationery and then we came to the US, but you kind of had it the other way around.
When I was in US, I didn't know much about stationery. Like I know some stationery, like in Home Depot or like in Staples or like the Office Depot. Like I remember those stores. And then I remember like when I was in school around high school, I loved using the 0.5 lead pencils because my handwriting is usually like really small. Like it's like Asian cute little small handwriting. Mm-hmm. But like if you compared it in Taiwan, they have like 0.4 and like 0.3. I'm like, what the heck? They have more thin lead pencils. And I'm like, I gotta use these. This is like, where have you been? Like,
I haven't seen life you before.
Yeah, so like everything was really different. Like in US, they had like wide ruled paper and like college ruled paper. But like in Taiwan, they have like different kinds of paper. They don't have wide ruled or college ruled. They have like, I don't know, 100 different other kinds of
paper.
So yeah, that was very different. So my stationery actually grew in Taiwan.
Is it like started the moment you stepped back into the homeland, like college first day you went to the closest Guangnan or Jiuda and you were like just blown away?
I was like, when I first went to it wasn't around like 2006 is when I started my college year in Taiwan. I actually didn't know anything about stationery stores, and so my Taiwanese friends actually took me there. And I was actually blown away. I didn't know there were like many pens, and like there was like different, I don't know, there was like so many different things. I stayed there for a good three to four hours. Didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what to buy because I'd never used any of those things. And then they have like those cute planners and then designed notebooks. And then they have, I don't know, there's just so much.
You have been doing so much washi art, like from your feet. It's hard. It's easy to tell.
Yeah.
Collecting for a long time. Did you also discover washi tape back then? Like how long have you been
okay
into so, specifically the washi tape realm?
Yeah, okay. So around 2004, when I was like in sophomore of college, that is when I noticed like the different kinds of washi tape designs, not the MT ones or the Daiso designs, but like there was a artist, a Taiwanese artist called Fionn Stewart. I'm not sure.
Oh my God. Yes. Fionn Stewart. So, she's the beginning of washi tape.
She was the beginning of like the whole designer washi tape art kind of design. And then I know like one of my closest friends, she first actually introduced me to washi tape. But at that time, because she showed me the simple plain ones, like the polka dot ones or like the stripe ones, I wasn't really into those. And then her birthday was coming up. And mm-hmm. that's why I wanted to go to like a local stationery store and see if there's any washi tape designs that she will probably like. So that's when I started noticing Fionn Stewart washi mm-hmm. tapes. And then at that time, I realized that I wanted the Fionn Stewart washi tape for myself. And then I bought the whole set. She released the first set of washi tapes around like seven rows back in 2000, like the first collection that she had. And then I bought all the first set. And then I bought my friend only like 3 to 5 rows from the first. That was because it was a little bit expensive at that time. I was still a college student. I was like, oh man, I wanted the set. But then I also, my purpose of coming here was to buy a gift for my friend. So I was like, I'll just be selfish here and I won't tell her. And then I'll just buy the first set to myself. And then the 3 rolls is for my friend for her birthday. Yeah, so that's when I started the stationery specifically for washi tapes.
Mm.
Yeah,
and then do you know approximately how many rows you have right now? Like, is this a very right private now, question?
Like, right now, okay. Because I usually destash my washi tapes. So I actually like each month I would go through each of my collection, and then I know my habit of ordering for me. So I know because of this problem, I know that my rule for each of the washi tape design is that if I didn't use a washi tape design for more than around 6 months or more, then that means I probably won't use them for
forever.
A long time. if I didn't use them, I probably won't like remember them. So that's like my rule of stashing the washi tapes that I don't use anymore. So for right now, I mean, I still have a lot right now, but like for right now, I don't know. I have about, I would say 300, 400. I don't know.
I think you probably have way more, because the thing with washi tape is you kind of get like, you eyeball it, you guess how much you have, but it's probably yeah, twice the amount.
I'm eyeballing it right now. It's because there's two types of washi tapes that I separate them. One is for journaling, mm-hmm. and the other one is for washi tape art postcards that I use for my postcards. These two washi designs are like really different.
Right.
So the washi tapes that I use for my journals, I don't use them for postcards. Oh. But the ones that I use for postcards, I can use them for my journal.
Oh my gosh. Okay. There's so much we need to dig into right there. Because I have two questions that can go two ways. I want to cover both of them. But I just wanted to let you know, like, I feel like you definitely have more because I'm counting my collection. I've been collecting since 2014 as well. And I think I have around like 600 rolls, but I also don't de-stash. So you probably have already like reached like 1,000 rolls or something. Like, well, it's just from your collection.
Thing, yeah, the one thing that I noticed is that in Taiwan, a lot of people de-stash is usually de-stash rolls or de-stash samples. Mm. Like if they can't use a full roll, they would actually de-stash some of the samples to keep for themselves and then to sell some away. So a lot of people would buy the samples just because it's much more cheaper than the roll.
Yes, that's definitely a thing. And it's so easy and convenient to distribute the samples, unlike here where, you know, people are kind of far away. It's not like you can go to a or place to swap items, right?
Yeah. So, like, if you want me to count, like, the washi tape rolls, I don't know if samples count. Or if samples don't count in the washi tape.
That would be like in the 2,000 realms, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, because, yeah, so now usually for right now, my habit of buying washi tape rolls is to find someone else that likes this roll also. Mm-hmm. And then I would actually split them in half or like how many loops they want, how many samples they want, and we would split them to four people.
You're one of those people. I am so impressed. I lurk in Facebook groups like that where people like order together and they split the rolls, and I'm always just impressed by the organizers who's willing to spend the time to do the they measure, okay, this person is like 500 centimeter and then like this other want 600 centimeter and then they do like the division and then they package it and then you get those PET tapes rolled in these really nice little cylinders.
Definitely
I love
it's because
that.
Now a lot of tapes right now they are getting more expensive as we speak. Like, I don't know, like right now it's like PETs, a lot of people know about PETs now, and but now there's right here we have like PETs with 3D I don't know what to call, like a 3D feeling gloss. Of the gloss. Yeah. Like when you feel them, they have like a 3D
raised like effect, right? Like you can feel like the texture. Effect.
You can feel the texture, and then there's like little bumps to it. Mm-hmm. Or like there's PET with like old foil, or like, I don't know, there's like more advanced tapes now that we didn't have then back then. So now I'm afraid if it's like getting into like later on this year, or if it's like next year, there's like a next level PET, or like I don't know some crazy
from transfer tapes. Washi tape maybe, like, you know, you can roll transfer sheet. So let's get into it though. I've decided I'm gonna ask you about the washi art first, and then later we're gonna get into the journal part. Like it's pretty much
It's two different things. Yeah.
It's two different things, but also very important, and it's just kind of amazing. Like when I received your postcard. You call them postcard, but they're actually washi art cards, right? When I received it, I showed it up on my Twitch stream to my audience, and they were all just like if I can see their jaws drop, it's all over the place. Like I can see when I was showing it, I was like, holy wow, this is, I've seen it when you showed it to me in direct message, but when I like hold it up and look at it myself again, I was like blown away, right? So washi art card, can you tell us a little bit about what that even is, and when did you start doing it, and what are the rose washies that goes into it, you know, like you kind of went into the types. Can you give us a little rundown?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so to simply put, washi, I call it washi postcards, but like washi art cards is mostly different types of designed washi tapes are collaged together into like this one big picture or like the scenery. And then for me personally, I feel like washi art cards tells like a whole a story or like a whole scenery of like what of like how you interpret this type of art. So a lot of interpretations are different. So for me, I personally like art washi art cards is because they tell like a point of a story or some kind like a storybook kind of thing, mm-hmm. picture book into this card. So I would consider that a washi art card for me.
And how and long then, have you been doing it? Yeah.
Well, I started doing it back in July 2016. Ooh, okay. So my very first washi art card was around then. That's when I graduated from college. Mm-hmm. And then I had more time doing washi and designing and stuff like that. And I don't know. Like before the washi art card, I was actually designing cards, like normal cards, happy birthday cards or like Christmas cards or like graduation cards to people. And I noticed I used a lot of washi tapes. Mm. on them. So that's why afterwards the graduation I turned them into postcard, and then I don't know, just make it into like a one sheet with all collaging a lot of different washi tapes on it. Yeah,
it's so intricate because like for example the one you gave me looks like it has like the Fuji-san in the background. It has the train running through the track, and then like surrounding it in the border are probably maple leaf washi tapes from different designers that you intricately carve out the leaves
and kind of
like decorate it around. And so like obviously for me the first question is, where do you even find these washi tapes? This is amazing. I've never seen something like this. And then like the art of putting it together, like oh my gosh.
Oh man. Okay. Well, most of the washi that you see me use onto those cards are actually not from Taiwan. They're actually from a lot of indie brands in China, actually. So I personally didn't order from China. It's because my Chinese isn't that very well, but my friends have ordered it from China website. Like mostly they use Taobao, the website called Taobao. And then they have a lot of indie brands from that website, and that's how they get their washi tapes from.
Right.
So usually when you see those sceneries or those characters or the flowers or like all those things on the washi card, they're mostly from China. So it's not from Taiwan actually.
But it's so amazing because these are not washi tapes that we think in our head or what most people are familiar with the thin ones. These are large, at least 5 centimeter wide, and it has
5 centimeters, 6 centimeters up to 10 centimeters. So now there's a lot of like different types of washi tapes where you put one design onto the postcard and it's actually filled. Like you don't have to do anything else. It's actually filled and you just finish this postcard art design.
Oh my gosh. I know you gave me a few samples just to check it out. And I was like, wow, these are like the largest washi tapes I ever seen.
They are huge, yeah.
On it, they paint like mostly the elements you use are the watercolor kind, right? And I'm like, I wish I could make watercolor washi like that with my watercolor art.
I mean, you're doing watercolor art right now. So I think you can print them out and make them into washi tapes.
It's amazing. Let's actually get into the different types, right? Like you gave me four types to talk about, and I think which one should we start with? Let's start with like the most, I think this is the first generation where, you know, washi tape, washi material, but now it starts coming out with the release backing, the release paper.
The release backing, right?
So I think in Taiwan, the people who started doing that was like Hanks, maybe, or maybe like So one of the, or La Dolce Vita even, I'm not really sure, but it came from that premise where, okay, your art on this wash mm-hmm. is too pretty. I need to cut it out and like cut it. It doesn't garner that full strip anymore. You have to use the individual elements on it, right?
So a lot of people would rather like the release paper backing tape on the washi tape. It's because before, when you want to cut out the designs from the washi tape, it's actually really hard. It's because the washi tape material is already thin to begin with.
Yeah.
And it's already sticky in the back.
Oh my gosh, when you use the
scissors, oh my gosh. When you use the scissors, it's so hard to cut the designs out. But with the release tapes, it's so much more easier. It's because of this thickness from the washi tape design. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people now transfers to the release backing is because of this convenience.
Easier to control, easier to place these on your journals, right?
Then
you gave me a second kind called regular washi release paper and has a bit of 3D gloss. So it's what we talked about, the ones with the shiny.
With the shiny, or like there's a bit of like bumps to it.
Yes.
Yeah. So usually for these kinds, well, these kinds, you can put them in your journals, obviously. But like for the washi art cards, I would actually use them like in the most front layer, the most top layer, I would say. I don't use them for the bottom, like the bottom, because it hides the bumpiness away. Mm-hmm. And then when you add the layer on top of the bumpiness, you can feel like the washi art card is bumpy, but it's covered up. So that's why I would actually use them in the top front layer of the washi art card.
That's awesome. Yeah, it does give off that little highlight effect at the very end too. You put it on the very top of your collage layering. Mm-hmm. And so the next one we have is, okay, PET tape with PET release backing. So just white ink, basically. So, you know, those very opaque ones. Yeah.
So I want to talk about that. A lot of people asked what is white ink? Mm-hmm. And then it goes to two different things. There's like PET with white ink backing, and then there's PET without the white ink backing. So the PET with the white backing, means that when you switch the PET back, you can see there's white.
Yes.
Like back of the design. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when, and I didn't give you like examples, but then if you imagine the PET when you flip it back without the white backing design, mm-hmm. it's actually like transparent. So for the transparent, when you use it on a journal, it doesn't really matter because the paper is usually white. So that doesn't really matter if you use PET without the white ink.
Right.
But then when you want to use the PET without the white ink on a washi postcard, you can't usually see the designs because it's usually blocked with other design, other colored,
like it's too transparent.
Too transparent, right?
Oh, so, I get it now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's why for washi art cards, we usually like PET with white inks on the backing. So that's why when we layer it, you can see you don't have to do like we call that dadi. I don't know how to explain it.
It's kind of like having the background. Like when you go use Procreate, you always need like a white background so the color would stand out.
It's much more easier for us to use the white ink instead. It's much more faster, and because PET tapes are the background of the PET tapes are transparent, so you don't have to cut it really specific or really
detailed,
you don't have to cut it really precisely. So that's why a lot of people with washi art cards, they like to use PET instead of like PET without the white inking or the normal paper washi tape.
Kinds. I see now. So that makes so much sense because, so although I'm not at your level of really doing washi cards, I do like to layer on my journal and I do have a lot mm-hmm. of different PET tape, but you can sometimes get into these situations where, you know, we always think about, okay, we're going to do a colorful kind of pattern layer and then put the mm-hmm. girls on top, like the girls mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. Dolce Vita. Mm-hmm. With the washi mm-hmm. material, it's half transparent. So the one without white ink. So then you kind of, you know, on the girl's face, you see like the blocky pattern underneath their face.
Right, now
I realize, yeah, so that's really what white ink means. I never really, you know, put it together.
So like in US or like in international countries, I don't think it really matters if it's white ink or not white ink. It's because usually in journals, it's usually white paper. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, I don't think it really matters to them, but then like, yeah, if you want to layer it, you would actually have to put a white paper, or in my case, I would actually use a for those sticker white sheets,
mm-hmm.
like how you make stickers. Yeah. Labels, but it's already sticky like in the back. So it's not like a plain white paper.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you can actually see the postcards, like how I gave you, like it's usually cut out, the characters are cut out
mm-hmm.
and it's like really detailed because you have to go in and outline it.
Yes, I can. I'm like looking at it right now and I'm like, this makes so much sense. This is how you create these layers.
Yeah.
The back, you know, the background color showing through because of the mm-hmm. nature of some of these PET tips. So I think that was mm-hmm. really educational just now, because now people who are buying PET washi tape, that's one more thing you can consider. Because for example, I buy the, I think Johan with the Cloud Dog series.
Oh.
And it is so like transparent, you can't really see on white paper, and then you also have the other kind of PET tape that does not have white gloss, so you mm-hmm. layer it on and then you kind of mm-hmm. see through it. Mm-hmm. It looks nice in some cases, but some and mm-hmm. certain other cases, I just want the picture to kind of stand opaquely on its own, right?
Yeah.
And then you also have matte finish versus gloss finish.
Oh my gosh, that's another thing. Oh my gosh, there's so many different kinds. Okay, so there is PET that is matte finish and there is PET that is gloss finished. So okay, and generally it doesn't really matter again, but in washi art cards, oh my gosh, when you use the PET matte on the washi cards, a lot of people would rather want the PET matte types finish. Mm-hmm. It's because when you take a picture of the washi cards, it doesn't reflect.
Right.
It doesn't usually reflect on the cameras, on the pictures, when you take pictures on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you use the PET glossy type and then you want to take a picture after finishing your art, washi art card,
right,
it usually gives off a reflection and it's hard to take a picture with it.
And one thing I also noticed is that when you kind of tilt it to the side for the glossy uh-huh. kind, you see that weird like plastic texture where you can even accidentally have your fingerprints be saved in like the piece of art, you know, when the texture is the gloss kind.
Yeah.
At least for me. So I also personally prefer the matte. And and I'm pretty sure this is like an extra cost to make it matte or something like that. So obviously that is why, guys, washi tapes are like, if you think of a washi tapes that are like $14 or $12, which is about the cost here, there's a reason behind that.
Yeah, there's a reason behind why the tapes are being more expensive. One is because it's a PET tape now.
Yeah.
It's not a normal washi tape. And then second, it's because they do glossy types or the matte types. And then third, if it's white ink compared to not white ink. Mm-hmm. And then four, there's PET tapes with the little like glossy. Gold foiled and non-gold foiled.
The foil
and then there's fifth, there's PET with the one we just said, there's like bumps.
Yeah.
Or the textures on it. Oh my gosh. There's so many different kinds, and then the cost keeps getting higher and higher. It just depends on like what people want. But like, mm-hmm. you again, if it's like journaling purposes, I don't think If I don't think you could, it's up to you if you want to buy PET tapes that are expensive or not.
Yes.
It's just up to you. But like for washi art cards, it makes a total different feeling. And then there's a, like, it's like, it's different.
I just realized I haven't even like really mentioned where people can go and see your washi art card. And guys, that is Judy at Tokubetsu Memory, but like spelled with an I, like T-O-K-U.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
B-E-T-S-U-M-E-M-O-R-I. And how do you come up with this cool name? Like, I understand what it means because it's kind of like English plus Japanese. Okay. But
well, actually, I'm like, for my interest and my hobbies, I love the Japanese culture, of course. So I'm into like anime and all that, and I've watched so many different kinds, and that's how I pick up a lot of the Japanese language.
Mm-hmm.
So Tokubetsu Memory is actually, when you spell it out, it's mostly a katakana. Mm-hmm. So there is a Japanese word memori.
Yes.
And that's actually spell it in katakana. And then when you transfer it to English, it's the same thing, memory but with a Y. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then tokubetsu, I don't know. I came up with the word tokubetsu out of nowhere. it's because I picked up a lot of Japanese single words and from a lot of different types of animes, I just put two words together that actually mean something, I don't know, it has a meaning when I do stationery and stuff like that.
Because tokubetsu means special, right?
Yeah, tokubetsu means special, and then memory. So like special memories for like things that I do in stationeries.
Nice.
So so that's how I came up with it.
And you can also see Judy has her D-Stash account, and
oh my gosh.
and that you can go to for her D-Stashing. And then she also has this online store where you actually sell the samples of the special washi tapes that you have that you think people will like, right? So definitely later at the end of this episode, check it out. It's really tempting. Again, more people selling stationery from Taiwan, like I'm always down for that. Because for us being in the US and, you know, seeing cool things, you know, pop up in Taiwan,
yeah,
like it's so hard to get them.
Yeah, like the reason why I opened up my shop, my online shop, is because I realized there were a lot of Japanese stationery. Now, I mean, not that I'm hating, I love Japanese stationery, of course, but like I want also people to know more about the Taiwan artists. Like there, I mean, a lot of people know a lot of the well-known Taiwan artists, like Pyong or like Lin Cheng Ning.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Hanks. Everybody knew about that. But like the reason why they know about it is because of their IG accounts, where like a lot of people use them. But then for my types of online stationery, they have other artists that they don't open international stores, or that they don't have like a well-known international audience.
You have the Taiwan Black Bear set, the Taiwan Black Bear with a rubber stamp
yeah, a lot of people like that too.
I know. I see what you're saying now, because you also have stuff from shops like, you know, the regular stationery stores in Taiwan, so brands, big brands like Ethos, other like mass produced stationery brands. And so you have like the Amy and Tim notepads, you have I saw you have the Corgi Kaka one. A lot of cool little, so they're like less well known because they don't operate independently. They kind of go through these manufacturers or like these stationery brands to distribute their stuff.
Like I realized the stuff they released in local brands, I don't think they announce it in their Facebook pages.
They never do that. They don't even promote.
I don't know why. Like I'm not sure why they don't do that. I don't know if it's like a contract kind of thing that they can't. It's because I don't know, but like that's why I feel like, oh my gosh, people need to know about these artists or like these illustration. Like it's so cute, and it it's like, it's only in Taiwan, but like a lot of people don't know about it. So that's why I wanted to let other people know.
Mandy stickers, all that stuff. I'm just looking at your Taiwanese brand section and there's 569 products. So I'll have a lot to browse through, but I want to also like, holy shit, how do you like manage a full-time day job and still do this on the side? Like we have to get into that later.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, second part of that initial question at the very beginning, what journals do you use and what stationery do you use with it? What is your 2021 lineup this year?
Okay, so for this year, I'm using my Hobonichi. My Hobonichi, the cousin one, the one that's like day per day page. Mm-hmm. And then it's separate. It's the 6 month one. It's two books with January until June and then July till December ones. Nice. So that's the one that I'm using and it's my second year of using it right now. The reason why I'm using Hobonichi is because around 2009, I liked using Hank's the blank pages. The one with, it's also kind of like Hobonichi.
It's a daily page, but it's...
Yeah, it's a daily page.
Themed, right? Because he painted the corners.
He painted all the colors. Like, it's all different types of watercolors that he used. And it's different throughout all the days. And then he stopped producing them around 2020. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was really stuck between should I start trying out Hobonichi or should I just do a different kind of journal? So that's when I started using Hobonichi around 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then this year is my second year of using Hobonichi. Nice. I'm still waiting for Hanks. So if Hanks released one next year, I'm going back to Hanks.
Oh, did he say that he's going to do a non-data planner around the second quarter? At least I heard it from one of his lives.
Oh, but I already bought the whole
I know.
The reason why I like using Hank's planner is because he already had some sort of theme throughout each pages. So when I want to decorate each of the page, he already had a theme for it. So that's when I
35% done.
Yeah. I mean, that's when I know like what kind of washi tape I would use to match up with his theme.
Yes.
To make it like matching throughout all pages.
Yes.
So that's when I didn't want to do like a blank page and then start randomly out of my head, didn't know how to start. That sort. So that's why Hanks already gave me an idea and I'm just following his idea throughout each pages.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I see you also use the Traveler's notebook, right? Like, is that the system used before the Hobonichi?
So the Traveler's notebook I used since 2018. So my first Traveler's notebook is the Olive Edition one. Nice. I have a lot of different types or like styles that I like using. I like using vintage styles. I like using washi tape styles. There's so many styles that I don't know how to describe my style. My style is basically a little bit of everything. So that's why I jump from Traveler's notebook to Hobonichi.
I love looking at your feed, but it's hard to see what you do in your books, but I assume is it like also this sort of washi art filled space, or do you have more of a templated dated style?
The reason my Instagram Tokubitsu memory is mostly washi art card is because I like to be organized with what I do. So I'm thinking a few months before I wanted to do a separate Instagram for just my journaling.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just have so much Instagram accounts that I'm filled up. I'm sorry. No,
it gets very overwhelming. So don't do it. Like personal experience.
So like I like to separate all my things because I feel like the followers that they follow me is mostly this types or like that type. They don't want a little bit of everything. Like I feel like I'm a little bit pressured of doing things that they like. I know it's my account, but I just like to be precise on things that are constant. So for Tokubetsu Memory, I think it's mostly me just going to be consistent with my washi art card.
Totally.
But then And then I realized for my online shop, the Tokubetsu Memory shop, I usually post more of a vintage type of look. So I love vintage also, but then oh my gosh, I just want to be organized. So that's why for my Tokubetsu Memory shop, you see more of a vintage side of me. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can like see more of the journaling side, but I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm going to post more of my journal or if I'm just going to not show it. I mean, just maybe post it on my Instagram stories and such.
Which is totally fine because this totally, I guess, represents the whole thing about, hey, your journaling you don't have to journal to let other people see your journal. Mm-hmm. Journaling should be like your own personal thing. Can't be a personal thing and you don't have to share it with everyone else. Mm-hmm. So I like what you're doing here and I think it's already super cool and you're already showing off so much of your creativity. Well, Judy, you do a lot of things. You do washi art cards, postcards, you do your own journaling, you own an online shop, but you also have a day job, right? Like what industry are you in and how do you find time to balance all of that?
Oh my gosh. My day job currently, I'm a research assistant in a hospital that was opened recently in the last few years around 2017. So it's still a new hospital. Mm-hmm. And then I work in the department of orthopedics. So it's like bones and muscles and stuff like that. It's because back in college and my graduate school, I studied sports medicine. Mm. So I already have a background in like the different types of like sport injuries and stuff. And you usually see that in orthopedics department.
Yes.
So in Taiwan, a lot of doctors are required to have some sort of publications, paper publications. And then because their English isn't that well, I help them with their manuscripts writing. They do like a format of like their research of what they do. And then I turned it into like a rough draft kind of manuscript. And then I change like what they write in those formats or in those manuscripts. And then I turn them into final drafts, final manuscripts, which then I'm also in charge of sending them out into different types of international journals. So yeah, I manage that as a research assistant. I don't do research. Mm. So they usually do all the research and stuff, but I usually like be on the computer and
imagine it's still gonna be a time consuming job. Like you probably work a 9-to-5, right? Like a daily
routine. Yeah, it's a normal full-time job. Mm-hmm. But the thing is about my type of job is like they're really flexible on their deadline. It's usually me that set the deadline to them because you know I'm in charge of their manuscripts. So if they want me to do like a good quality writing, they should you know
be on time.
be on.
How do you like find time to play with stationery, or is that something that just come naturally? Like, okay, I'm off work now. It's 5. switch that switch, and now I'm like in journaling stationery mode. Like, is that how you roll, or do you just allocate weekends or something like that?
So usually for I separate a lot of different things. For journaling purposes, so like when I write in my Hobonichi and stuff, I usually write that during my work time. So because my work is so flexible, I manage my own time of when I do manuscripts and all that, and when I do journaling. So I have a lot of time writing in my journals during my daytime job, actually. And then for my online shops and all that, when I find time during my work, I usually like have a few moments to do some of the orders. And then afterwards, when it's like end of the day, when I get back to home, I would actually continue them. Or when I go into the weekends, I would actually continue them. So when I do the orders, is actually really therapeutic for me when packaging the orders, is because actually I get to play with the stationaries. Technically, it's like playing with stationaries, but also working. I don't know. I just love packing for some reason.
Oh my God. I know a few people who can totally relate to you, because there are some shops out there that does amazing packaging. And I'm like, I can see this being a very like, tedious job. Like, you know, you have to like wrap it this way, use this washi tape, and then you know, clean up all those corners. But then Nita from my blanket tells me she takes so much joy, because it is like using stationery. Like she gets to stamp all these stamps on the paper. And for you, it's probably like all the packaging of the washi tape.
It's actually time consuming, but I'm actually having a really fun time actually doing them. So another reason why I like to do the packaging with the orders, it's because that's actually another excuse of me using my own stationery. That's another way of using stationery, because when I just use stationeries in my journals, I still have a lot of the materials left and so what, like whatnot. And then when I do packaging, that's another way to consume those stationeries. So that's why, I mean, I just love packing.
Well, another way could be like, you know, do here we probably use happy mail, like snail mail, to use up most of our stationery. In Taiwan, there's the pialiupen, right? The exchange diary thing. Do you do that with your friends?
Oh, okay. So yeah, I call them like exchange journals, or like some people call it like exchange chain journals.
The traveling notebook. Yeah,
the traveling notebook. So currently I am doing one of those exchange journals with my friends, and it's mostly the washi art that you see in my Instagram. Nice. So it's usually mainly we just use washi art designs onto those journals. And then we have like 7 or 8 people, and then we rotate them around for 1 month. And then for this one that I'm currently in, a lot the requirement is that we have to design 7 pages, a total of 7 pages. So that's a lot for some people, but then we have a month deadline to do. So for me, I think it's a pretty manageable time for me.
And it's fun, right? It's one single book that goes from one household to the other. Everyone has it for a month. But like the thing with that one, like the reason why I can't do that as much as I like to, is that like who gets the final book, right? Like what's the eventual satisfaction of that book?
You mean
like who
gets,
like what happens
gets
to
the final book?
Yeah, what happens to the book once the rotation is done?
Okay, so here's the thing. In Taiwan, the exchange journals, everybody has a blank exchange journal. Everybody has one. So for us, because we have 7 and 8 people, everybody has one. So everybody rotates in a circular. Oh, until,
so it's seven books rotating at the same time. Got it. Oh my gosh.
So everybody gets a page of everybody that designed it. And then at the end, we all get the books back filled with so many of the designs and styles. I didn't know there was just one book.
I was confused at first. I was like, oh, okay, so you have to do seven pages in that book when your turn.
Seven pages really each month.
Because I think I participated in one, and that's the Traveling Hobonichi a few years ago, and it's just in one book, and eventually goes back to Hobonichi headquarters. So that was fun, but there's that thing where if you're earlier in the chain, that one went around the world though, so that one's pretty cool. If you're in the earlier pages, you don't get to see what everyone else did at the very end. Until they finally scan every single page about it. But this is so much more fun, so you can have everyone starting out with a Traverse notebook insert and then a plain one. And then just rotating it between friends, right?
And then it's up to the group if they just want to do all designed art styles or if they want to write something in it. The one before that I participated in, they have different kind of themed questions. And then once the theme question is written onto the journals, you get to design the pages around it. Writing is one thing, or you want to design is another thing. It all depends on the groups. So I think, I don't know why Taiwan is popular for exchange journals, but I think it's something that everybody can do around their small community. And I think it's really fun.
I think it's definitely an idea and concept that works for small communities because here in the US at least, it's too big to go from one state to another if it is kind of like that. Yeah. And I can see me and my friends in Seattle doing that because we can drive to each other's place and, drop it off and do those swaps and exchanges. But, shipping becomes an issue when the books get bulky and,
if the books gets lost, that's another problem. That's another thing you have to consider. But in Taiwan, I don't think there's a lot of lost mail problems.
Exactly.
I never encountered one before.
Lucky.
Oh my gosh.
Taiwan's the best.
Speaking
of Taiwan's the best, you and your stationary friends, I love that you can have a lot of stationary friends in Taiwan and close proximity. Do you guys go to any fun events last year? Because, despite COVID, Taiwan pretty much has been operating normally. Mm-hmm, so events and fun stuff happens, right? Including stationery.
For stationery events, we still have stationery markets and exhibitions. The big one that we had last year is probably Pink Koi Markets. And there's this one company called Your Tape Print. I don't know if you know that.
I asked my sister to go for me. She was my she was my avatar. I control her from far away.
So the people that don't know what Your Tape Print is, it's actually a well-known company in Taiwan, and it's a company that helps you print out washi tape rolls. So a lot of the designers you see, I know Loi Design would use Your Tape Print to print out her flower designs. I don't know who else uses them. I'm not sure if Hank or if Pyong uses them, but it's a well-known company that prints out tapes.
Yes.
Your design tapes.
And they're the one that does the technology. They can do the technology of the gloss, sprays, 3D effect, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So you went to that one. How was it? Did you buy a lot?
It's crowded, of course, but I think they manage their crowd control a lot better each year. It's because last year of the COVID, they have to limit the people inside, and they also have to control the lines that are outside. And then, of course, everybody has to wear masks or like everybody has to do temperatures. I mean, I think it's pretty controlled. And it's, I know it's a big event and a lot of people did attend, but I think they did pretty good actually. And then the markets, the indie brands that were inside each of the markets or like exhibitions, they also have their own little lineups. Like if it's like, if you go to like your tape print market or like Pink Koi's market, and then you see a well-known artist like Peon or like Hanks, a lot of people know them already. So of course they're going to have a long line of those setups.
The queuing is also scary.
Yeah. So the queuing of their own little, tables, they also have crowd control. And they also have securities for each of them. And then I think overall they did pretty good.
I think Taiwan has an interesting phenomenon where people love queuing. Like if it's not a queue, this place is not worth it. So like people would stand in line for 2 hours to try to get into a stationary markets event, or they would stay in queue to go to one of those other ones. To go to restaurants or whatever. Definitely. So it's definitely an indication of how hot
something that, they want badly.
That artists or washi tapes are. Like I started my washi tape obsession back in 2014 when Hanks was really popular then. And I stood in queue for like an hour and a half on this hill in Danshui because they were holding like a market in the middle of nowhere in the woods and having this really like, you know, wenting experience where all the shops are all like out in the open in nature and it is so crazy. But I love it. Like I had a book with me and I just read while I was standing in line to get the washi tapes, which is literally 10 rolls.
I mean it's actually a satisfying feeling that you got something from that artist, and also you get to meet up with the artist. Yeah, and all those people do like signatures onto their journals once they meet up with them.
That's when everyone brings their traveler's notebook, right?
They bring their journals or their blank journals or traveler's notebook to like sign or something. I think that's actually really cool. I mean, they have something similar. Like if I want to compare this into the US, because back in US, the only thing that I could compare to is like Artist Alley and like, I don't know if people go to like anime conventions or stuff like that. But for conventions we have Artist Alley where there's a lot of small business artists, and then they have a big room filled with different kinds of artists. They also line up to buy stuff from that. So it's
kind of like that
in Taiwan if you want to compare it. But
It's like fully stationary.
Fully stationary version style.
Exactly. Wow. Julie, I love that you were able to share your washi wisdom with us. I love that.
No problem.
And especially with you kind of being on the ground. Can you recommend to us any other cool washi artists that people can follow and look at to see, you know, how amazing this collage world could be. I personally only know Susan Ye. Oh my gosh, her stuff.
She does MT tapes or like the Japanese made tapes.
Washi art.
So yeah, that's a little bit different, but like, oh my gosh, I also follow her too. Oh my gosh, she's amazing. So like the other washi art creators that that have inspired me and they still continue to do it today, one of them that's well known in Taiwan is called Boya_Taipei. So that's she's actually well known in the washi art community. Another one, oh my gosh, how many can I list?
as many as you like.
Another one that I liked is Katail. So it's Katail. 831, Cocktail 831. Mm-hmm. So she's also well known in Taiwan for the washi art, for the washi art cards. And then one of my friend, my close friend, is another one called Sunflower. Sunflower 770408 is another well known. I think I'm gonna stop here.
I love how many Taiwanese artists just do like numbers behind their like Instagram account, and they're totally okay with that.
I mean, yeah, it's usually they just use, it's their personal Instagram account, but of course it might be, it's mostly filled with washi art cards that are similar to my
your friend Sunflower Remy. Oh my goodness. I love it.
Yeah, so they usually inspired me to do my styles of washi art cards. I usually go to them to, I don't know, do some kind of inspirational ideas or like what new types of tapes they have. And sometimes I would ask them, hey, do you have samples? Do you want to sell me some samples?
Do some swapping there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. If you ever host a workshop, I would be so interested in learning how to do these layering.
Like before, I wanted to open up like a YouTube channel, how to do them, or like do a short, quick video or like how to do them. But like the thing is, like, you first need these kinds of same materials.
You need the materials to
you
to
need
really
the materials
put
to put it together. And I don't know how to get, like, you the only way to get them is through, again, what I said from before, the China website Taobao, to get them. So I don't know like how it would be available to the other people who wants to do the washi art cards. It's because the thing is, for the washi art cards, not one card will be the same, of course.
Yeah.
So they're all very different. And then like the designs, it's not possible to do like the same. You can't replicate the same thing. And I don't know. Maybe I could just do it just to showcase how I did it. But I don't know how I would be able to let them play with it as well.
Nevertheless, I still feel like looking through your feed is such a great inspiration. And we are slowly getting a few more tapes like that. There are ways, but I'm not going to share it because people are going to blame me for enabling again. You guys know what I'm talking about, paper game. So there's like these shops that sell these kind of washi tapes. But I feel like having the opportunity to see people like you do these kind of art and really open up, I think, people's mind into seeing, oh my gosh, stationery can do this too.
Yeah,
so
I think they
appreciate
should do it,
you sharing
you.
This
no,
with us today.
No problem.
And I look forward to seeing more from you and then, you know, enabling more of my friends to go to Tokyo Memory and get all those unique Taiwanese cards and washi tape and stationery.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Judy, for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it. You guys can find
Thank you.
At Tokubetsu Memory, and you can also find her at her other accounts, the D-Stash, the online
shop. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
Also called tokubetsumemory.com. And as always, a way to support the Stationery Cafe is to give us a like on Instagram or give us a review on Apple Podcast. And we look forward to giving you another great episode next week. Thanks, Judy. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.